إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخواتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Still on the chapter of Aishrat al-Nisa relating with the women and how the women relate with the husbands. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة فلما قدمنا المدينة ذهبنا لندخل فقال أمهلوا حتى تدخلوا ليلة يعني إشاء لكي تمتشف الشعفة وتستحد المغيبة متفق عليه وفي رواية للبخاري فإذا أطال أحدكم الغيبة فلا يترك أهله ليلة From Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, كُنَّ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي غَزْوَةٍ We were together with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in an expedition. فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ When we got to Medina, ذَهَمْنَا لِنَدْخُلِ We wanted to enter Medina. That if each one of us wanted to go to their houses, wanted to go to their family, ذَهَبْنَا لِنَدْخُلَ فَقَالَ Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم then said to us, أَمْهِلُوا which exercise caution, حَتَّى تَدْخُلُوا لَيْلًا so that you can enter by night. يعني إشاء so that you can enter by the time of إشاء لكي تمتشف الشايفة رسول الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم explained to them the reason why he wanted them to exercise caution he said لكي تمتشف الشايفة so that the woman with the shaved head can comb her hair. The woman with an unkempt hair can comb her hair. What is the hindal mughiba? Likewise, the woman whose husband has been away from for a while who also shaved her private patch, shaved the pubic hair. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the reason why he wanted them to exercise caution. So this is also telling us the way that a man relates with his wife. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said this was at a time where there was no easy communication. A man who was away for a period of let's say a month, 2 weeks, or a week. The wife is not likely to know when he's going to return. So if the man just enters upon the woman, he may find the woman in a condition that he will not like to see her in. Take for instance, the woman may be with the shaved head, unkempt head, that when the man looks at her, she will not be appealing to the man. And Islam wants a woman to appear to her husband in a pleasing way anytime the man looks at her. And that is why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about the best woman. He says the best woman is the woman that when the man looks at her, farratuhu, she pleases him. When the man looks at her, she pleases him. So a woman that is going to please a man, whenever a man looks at her, must be a woman that takes care of herself all the time, because she's not beautifying herself or decorating herself for any person other than the man who has married her. So Islam wants a woman to be good looking anytime the husband sees her. So a man who has been away from his wife, and as we said in the past, the woman may not know the time that the husband will return. In the absence of the husband, the zeal and the yearning, so to say, to adorn oneself and beautify oneself will not be there. So the woman will look content. She will look disheveled. So for this reason, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted the husbands who have been away, when they enter upon their wives, they see them in a very pleasing way. So he said, let us exercise patience, so that what the women, they will be aware of our arrival, that our husbands are around, so that some of them that have been looking in a disheveled way, so will try to watch, decorate and beautify themselves, so that the men will see them in good condition. And that is when Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them the reason. He said, so that what the ashaifa, the women or the woman that has unkempt hair, what to comb her hair. Likewise, the one that has left a pubic hair unchanged will also have it shaved. So what is tahidda? Al-mughiba. So al-mughiba is a woman that ghaba anha zawjuha, that the husband is away from. It's al-muttafaqun alayhi. This is agreed upon by al-Imam Bukhari and al-Imam Muslim. Wa fi riwayat al-Bukhari, in a report of Bukhari, فَإِذَا أَطَالَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْغَيْبَةِ, if one of you is away for long, فَلَا يَتْرُكْ أَهْلَهُ لَيْلًا, he should not enter upon the woman لَيْلًا at night. He shouldn't enter upon the woman لَيْلًا at night. Because that time, she will be preparing to sleep. And we know Islam also tells us, even with respect to the young ones that have not attained puberty, that when they want to enter upon us at a 3 periods, they should seek what? Istighfar before entering. Because at that point, the man and his wife, they be in a condition that was, you don't want anybody to see them. So the same thing is the man that has been away for long. The woman may be in a situation that if the man sees her in that situation, the man will not be happy with her. Maybe she has not even taken her bath for that day, for instance. And the man comes, somebody who has become tired, now sees her in a situation like that. He sees her with an unkempt hair. So the man will have a kind of repulsion, so to say, against her, that no, I'm not okay with what I've seen in you. For this reason, Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises the man that they should not enter upon the women later. So that is, they should let the women know that they are around. They should let the women know that they are around. Jabir radiallahu anhu, when he reported this, there was a story attached to it. His camel was somehow walking sluggishly. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit the camel from the back, and the camel started moving fast. So as the camel was moving fast, Jabir radiallahu anhu was a kind of hastening. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What is hastening you?" He said, "Messenger of Allah, I'm newly married." So Messenger of Allah asked him, "Abikran and Sayyiban, who did you marry? Is he a virgin or a previously married woman?" He said, "Sayyiban, a previously married woman." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala bikran tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuka? Why can't you marry a virgin who will play with you and you also be playing with?" Then Jabir narrated explained to the Messenger of Allah the reason why he got married to a previously married woman, saying that this is to take care of the young ones that his father had left behind. So if he had married somebody of their age, so this will not assist the situation. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told them concerning entering upon the women at night. So he said that they should not enter upon the women at night until the women are aware that they are around, so that they will comb their hair and they will also shave their pubic hair, and they will prepare themselves for the arrival of their husbands. So as you said, this is with respect to somebody whose husband has been away for a while. This is with respect to somebody whose husband has been away for a while. Secondly, there was no information to the women. If the women have information that their husbands are coming on so and so day, at so and so time, then there is nothing wrong in what is entering upon them. Like a man that has called his wife that I'm going to arrive by so and so time. So the wife herself will be waiting for his arrival. So this hadith is not addressing them directly. It's not addressing them directly. Because the wives are already aware of the arrival. Unlike a woman who is not aware of the arrival of her husband. And the husband has been away for a long time. So the husband has to do something that to make the wife know that he's around. Not just entering upon her because he will find her in a situation that will not be pleasing to him. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said this, some people they fell into what? Practicing entering upon the women without the women being aware of their arrival. So there were two cases that were reported like that. One man entered upon the wife, and the wife was combing the hair. But there was another person who was assisting her in combing the hair. So when the man entered like that, he told the person that was assisting her, or his husband, his wife, to comb the hair was a man. So he almost touched the person before he got to know that this person is a woman, not a man. So that's another area. So it's apart from allowing the woman to take care of herself and clean herself, beautify herself. So if one does not take care, caution. So another thing may also occur to one's mind that maybe you may find the woman in a situation that one may not want, or something will come to one's mind as this case. The other case is the case of a man or two men who found two men with their wives. Who found two men with their wives. So, though this is what is a bad case, but if they had heeded the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe this wouldn't have happened. Or if they had known the advice of the Messenger of Allah, they wouldn't have found their wives in a situation like this. So, it is good for us not to place our wives in a place of suspicion. And that's when there are hadith in Sahih Muslim, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was reported, نَاهَا أَنْ يَتُكَ الرَّجُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ لَيْلًا. It forbade a man entering upon his wife laylan at night. He now said, يَتَخَوَّلُهُمْ أَوْ يَتْلُبَ عَفَرَاتِهِمْ, trying to teach or to doubt their fidelity, or trying to look for their faults. Without another intention, that okay, man wants to surprise the wife so that what he can see the wife in what in a situation that will be doubting the fidelity and the sincerity of that woman. So let's know for Allah wants the man to gave this type of intention. If your wife is not somebody that is behaving in a way that is suspicious, so you don't have to suspect her. Relate with her in a good way. But for you to be suspecting your wife and she's not behaving in a suspicious way, then that is not against, it's not in line with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Allah. And as the Messenger of Allah said, what? None of you should enter upon his wife. Yet trying to what? Trying to doubt their fidelity. Or yet no authority, or trying to look for their faults. That intention is very, very wrong. But if the wife is somebody that is embarking on some suspicious actions in a situation like that, this will be permissible. Take for instance a man trying to doubt the fidelity of the wife, looking at her phones always, looking at this, looking at her purse, checking her luggage and things like that, checking her back. No, don't put your wife in a situation like this unless there is a thing that calls for suspicion. If there is nothing, you treat your wife as somebody you have trusted. You treat your wife as somebody that you have trusted. So this is the teaching of Islam. This is the way that a man relates with the wife. And that's why the topic or the chapter is said what? Aishratul Nisa. The way to relate with the women and the way the women will also relate with the man. In the way the Sharia has laid it down. So this is something that is very, very important. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Jabir radiallahu anhu has reported, كُنَّ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي غَزْوَةٍ. We were together with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle. فَلَمَّا قَدِمْنَا, when we arrived al Madina, ذَهَبْنَا لِنَدْخُلْ, we wanted to enter our houses. فَقَالَ عَمْزِيلُ, he said to us, wait, حَتَّى تَدْخُلُ لَيْلًا, so that you can enter at night. Yani Ishan, at night. That is, they came before Salatul Maghrib. They came before Salatul Maghrib. So the issue is that he wanted them to exercise some patience before entering. Not the issue of what the night that really matters here. Though most of the time, at night, the women will be in a situation that what? They will be free. So this will be what? It will be more applicable to the night. But only if one comes in the afternoon, that doesn't mean one can enter any, particularly if one has been away for a long time. If one has been away for a long time. And there is no information that has reached the woman that I'm coming on so and so day. Because she may not have beautified herself, anticipating her husband. She may be in a disheveled way. So in order not to find her in a situation that one will not be pleased with, it is good one notifies them. Even when you get to the town, when there is nobody to watch, when you cannot pass the information to them, maybe through phone call and the like. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the companions to be doing that. And if it is at night, maybe they should look for a way of what delaying their entry upon them. Because there was no any prior information that I will arrive today. And finding your wife in a situation that will not please you is something that is not okay. And one should also not try to do that, maybe enter upon them by surprise. Because one wants to, one is doubting their fidelity, that if they are sincere to one or not. So this is not okay. But if one's wife has been taking some steps that are suspicious, in that case, the man can do that. In that case, the man can look at her own, the man can look at her back, because that woman is under the man, and the woman does not have the right to behave anyhow without the consent of the man. So what, ordinarily, the man should what, leave her to whatever she is doing. So that is what the basis. But if there is anything that calls for suspicion, then in that case it is permissible. But one to be doing tajassus on her, Islam forbids this generally. You cannot do tajassus on other than your wife, so you cannot do tajassus on your wife as well. You can't do that unless there is something that calls for suspicion. So the reason Messenger of Allah said this is so that they can beautify themselves and dress well and look in a way that will be very pleasing. Likewise, Messenger of Allah has forbidden this so that we will not meet them in a situation that will not be okay, and that we should also not be suspecting them. So this is the reason why the author has brought it here. وفي رواية من البخاري من الريبورت اوف الإمام البخاري فإذا أطال أحدكم الغيبة if one of you stays long فلا يترك أهله ليلا he should not enter upon his wife ليلا at night he shouldn't enter ليلا at night and the first one said he should wait till what the night comes and this is because he wanted them to be around after that wife will prepare themselves. So this one, he said he should not enter by night, because when he surprised them by night and there was not any prior information, then it will be worse. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. But as we said, in the modern time, that phone call can solve this. So it does not matter the time that the husband and that upon the wife, because he may have give her a phone call, she should have gotten herself ready and prepared, justify herself, take the necessary things that she ought to do. So with this, there is nothing wrong in that. So this is also to tell us part of what is needed for the Isharatu and Nifaq, for the relationship between the man and the woman. For it to be okay. Now, a husband that goes to his place of work, is this hadith applicable to him? The hadith is not applicable because there is no tulul ghaiba here. There is no tulul ghaiba. So the wife already knows that my husband will be around by so and so time. So what is expected of her is to prepare and beautify herself before the coming of the husband. So if she doesn't do that, that means she does not, the Ishra of Nisa, the way the women should relate with the men, the woman does not understand it. So a woman must prepare herself, beautify herself, make herself good looking before the man comes around. So when the man comes around and the man looks at her, Sarrasku, the woman pleases the man if the man looks at her. As you said, this is something that is very, very important that a lot of women today, they don't take with seriousness. Most women today, when they are going to a party or they are going at work, they dress provocatively, so to say, and some of them will apply perfume by that time. But when they are at home, no application of perfume, no dressing provocatively for the husband, because both of us are together, we've been husband and wife for the past 5 years, 3 years, 20 years, 30 years, so. But when they are going out, then they apply what? The fume. And the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Ayyuma imra'atin ta'attarat, anyone that applies the fume, thumma kharajat min bayt zawjiha, she now goes out of the house of her husband, yajid an-nas ri'aha, so that the people can perceive a smell, odor, fayya zaniya. Such a woman is treading the path of the zaniyat. Because what is the benefit of that thing that she is wearing? The benefit of the perfume that she is wearing? The person that you are to impress is the husband at home. So So if you are not going to impress any other person outside, why wearing the perfume? And that's why the Sharia says it is not permissible for women to wear perfume outside. But inside their house, they can wear perfume for their husband. And this is also being about a lasting marriage. But a man that is going out, when he's going out, he's hearing good perfume from women that are passing by his side. But when he returns home, it is what sweat, that's what the smell of sweat that will be hearing. How do you think that such a man will feel inclined towards such a woman? That's not possible. And that's why Islam teaches us the way a woman should do mu'ashara of her husband. The way a woman should do mu'ashara of her husband. As such, this issue of what entering upon her is not applicable to somebody who just go to a space of work and come back. It is a woman that should prepare herself. But if the man is staying long, maybe travels, so if he's coming back, he has to give the woman a phone call. I'm coming back on so and so day, maybe so and so time. So that's what the woman would have prepared herself before his arrival. And if there is no phone call, there is nobody that can convey the message, if he gets to the town, he should engage in some activities that will make the woman know that he is already around. And by that time, the woman will be preparing herself so that the man will enter meeting the woman in such a way that the woman will be pleasing to her, the woman will be lovely. So this is something that is very, very important, and this is part of the adab of Ishwat al-Nisa, the way the women relate with their husbands and the way the husbands also relate with them. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن شر الناس منزلة عند الله, the worst person in rank before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يوم القيامة, on the day of resurrection, is الرجل يفضي إلى مراتي, a man that has sexual intercourse with his wife or plays with his wife, what is the village, and she also has sexual intercourse with him and plays with him, ثم ينشر سرها, then the man goes out spreading whatever transpires between both of them. This is one of the worst persons before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what transpires between both of them is said to be secret. As Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it, he says, sirraha, a secret. So, narrating how one will have sex with a woman, she will do this, I will do this, this is the way we practice it. Narrating this before friends. This is what somebody not having what ghaira on his wife. Doesn't have ghaira on his wife. It's somebody that is not jealous. And he doesn't have jealousy. So such a thing is not to be revealed before the people. Before the people. Likewise, the woman is not supposed to be doing that. Unless the person that does not have shyness. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this is one of the worst people before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like he said that what شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْزِلَةً عِنْدَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, one of the worst persons before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of Qiyamah is the one that is ذُلْ وَجْهَيْلِ, somebody with two faces. يَأْتِ أَوْلَاهِ لِوَجْهٍ وَأَوْلَاهِ لِوَجْهٍ, so you go and tell these people so and so, you go and tell these people so and so. That is referring to a munafiq. So if what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described a munafiq with is what is describing a man who also shares the secrets of his wife, what has transpired between him and his wife, he's sharing it amongst his friends just to make what? To make jest and to laugh it off. So this is not the quality of a good person. A good husband is the one who protects the sirru, the aura, and the secrets of the wife. unless if there is a necessary need for it. Unless if there is what? A necessary need, or there is a need for it. But if there is no need, it is haram to do that. And that is one of the practices of the worst people before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is also telling us how a man relates with his wife under Ishratul Nisa. Under Ishratul and Nisa. Now, there may be some situation when a man will say something that has to do with maybe sex and things like that. Rasulullah Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody has come to him asking questions concerning a man having sex with his wife, is a person going to take a ghusl and things like that. And he said, I and this will do that, and we take ghusl. So this is not revealing what the speak, because this is just what talking about things that most people will know. When you know when a man is married to a woman, there will be something like that between both of them. But going into the details of that thing, this is what we are talking about. One day, Ummu Salama, her son, the son of Abu Salama, called Umar, asked Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some questions concerning marriage and things like that. And Messenger of Allah directed him to the mother. He said, go and ask this. And the mother said that, I am Messenger of Allah who do something like that. Talking about what? So, but this is not explaining what the details of how a man will have sex with a wife, how both of them will enjoy themselves. This is not what talking about the details. So it is the details that we are talking about. But just talking about superficially, there is nothing that is there is nothing wrong as far as that is concerned. Because especially of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said this. And Aisha radiallahu anha was also asked concerning that. Can a man see the nakedness or the nudity of his wife? Somebody asked Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha said, what? I and the Messenger of Allah will bath together. Both of us will take bath together. So that was a response, that a man can see the nudity of his wife. But the details is what is being talked about here, that this is what is haram. This is haram. So for any man to be revealing the details of what goes between him and his wife, the way they will have sex and things like that, telling this to the friend, or the woman often narrating this to the friend, this is not okay. Unless in a situation that he or she has to say this out. In a situation that he or she has to say this out. Maybe the woman has a problem and people are trying to watch to maybe interfere or intervene in the distance between both of them. Take for instance a man that cannot perform well, and people just see them, both of them always quarreling, what is happening. So both of them are waiting to say this. Maybe the family or the judge now calls them for this. Can she say this? Can he say this? In a situation like this, this will be permissible, because it is what? Necessity that calls for it. It's just like somebody, the aura of a woman is haram for anybody to see her aura, except the husband. Even the father, the mother cannot see her aura. Huh? The father, the mother cannot see her aura. But if there is need, somebody can see her aura, and that is the doctor if there is need for that. And they should not be blown out of what? Out of the proportion. So it should be within what is allowed in the Sharia. But generally speaking, you say what is haram for any person to see the aura of another person. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man should not look at the nudity of another man. And a woman should not look at the nudity of another woman. Father, dear, both of us, we are women. What are you hiding from me? Both of us, we are men. What are you hiding from me? And that is why some mock, you see them just giving a place that you say this is the place where you can answer the call of nature. And what about 5-10 men will be there? So all of them exposing the aura. This is what haram in the Sharia. It is haram in the Sharia. So those who have done that, they've done it because we are all men. So what are we hiding from one another? No. لا ينظر الرجل إلى عورة الرجل ولا المرأة إلى عورة المرأة. So this is something that's important. But despite all this, if there is need for one to see the aura of the opposite sex, or there is need for one to see the aura of the same sex, if there is need for that, this will be what darura. What darura? To qaddaru the qadriha. So the same thing is applicable to a man. It is haram on him to be narrating the details of what goes between him and his wife. Likewise, the wife to be narrating the details of what goes between her and the husband with respect to sexual intercourse and the like. This is what haram. But if there is need for that, then this can be done in such a way that will not go out of proportion. So this is something that is very, very important. So we know the case of the woman that took that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complaining that she wanted to she was not interested anymore in her husband. The Messenger of Allah sent for the husband. The woman said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you know, her organ is just like this." She held the end of her clothes that his organ is just like this. You know, she had watched. She had gone too far. But I think the organ of the man is just like this. So the man has to also attack. That's the Messenger of Allah. Kazaba, she had told what a lie. Inni la anfuduha nafdha al-adhib. I'll wipe her the way they will do the leather. So what the man has also said has done what? Has gone far. But there is a need for that because the woman accused her of something and the man has to what? Establish the truth of the matter. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he has this, so not long after that, about maybe 2 or so children of the man was coming. And Messenger of Allah looked at the resemblance of the children to the man. He said, "This is the person that himself cannot perform. What about this?" So with this, the woman was silent. Messenger of Allah said, "What I'm saying to you is that you want to go back to your former husband. And you want to go back to your former husband. You can't do that. حَتَّى يَرْضُوكَ وَسَيْلَتَكِ وَتَرْضُوكِ وَسَيْلَتَكِ Until both of you have enjoyed each other. That is when you can go back, based on what you have explained before. So the shahid here is that it is haram to do that, unless if there is what a necessity for that. Maybe the woman has a genuine reason of narrating this to those that can maybe interfere or intervene in the matter, and the man also narrating this to those that can intervene in the matter. But now spreading a secret with the intention of what? Entertaining your friends. This is not the way of the believer. It is the quality of Sharunat, the worst of the people. One Hakim bin Muawiyah and Abihi, from Hakim, the son of Muawiyah, and Abihi, from his father Muawiyah, قال he said, قلت يا رسول الله معاذ بن حكم فلو مثل الله ما حق الزوج أحدنا عليه. What is the right of the wife of one of us on him? What is the right of the wife of one of us over him? قال مثل الله said, تطعمها إذا أكلت. You feed her, is that a culture when you eat? Now you use the word zawj here. Zawj in the Arabic language can mean a man and a woman. Can mean a man or a woman. So when they put Ta by saying Zawjatu, so that makes it clear that is what, that is the wife that is being referred to. But in the language of the Quraysh people, in their own dialect, so what they will use is what? Use the word Zawj for both men and women. So when he said, Ma haqqu zawji hadina alayhi, qala tut'imuha ila ta'idha akalta. In another report, tut'imuha ila ta'imta. You feed her once you feed. Wa taqsuha ila ta'ita. You close her once you close yourself. Wa la tadribil wajha. Do not beat her in the face. Wa la tukabbih. Do not speak to her in the harsh way by cursing her and things like that. وَلَا تَحْجُرْ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. And do not boycott her except in the house. رواه أحمد. Ahmed reported this. وَأَبُو دَاوُدْ and Abu Dawood وَالنَّسَائِي and الإمام النَّسَائِي وَابْنِ مَاجَةَ and Ibn Majah. وعملك البخاري بعضه. And Imam Bukhari just reported part of it as معلق. When they say معلق, this is the hadith that a person like Imam Bukhari reported without quoting the full shape of that hadith. He just said قال عمر قال ابن عمر. So عمر said so and so, without mentioning those that would link the connection between him, between the companion, and Imam Bukhari. So this is called what? Al-Mu'allaq. It may be da'if, it may be sahih. It depends on those that have been dropped. So at times, Imam Bukhari may just report a hadith, as most of us will say today, Qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who is the link between you and the Messenger of Allah? Huh? You have to go back to the source. Going back to Sahih Bukhari. Then when you go back to Sahih Bukhari, you see the link between Imam Bukhari and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you just say call sallallahu alaihi wasallam direct. So at times Imam Bukhari will not mention the source between him and between him and the person that he has attached the statement to. So this is the call what Hadith Ma'allak. In another place in his book, he didn't mention what the shape. He didn't mention it in a place because he just wanted to use the message. He was not interested in what the shape at that point. But that same hadith has been used in another place in the same book. So this is the called Hadith Mu'allaq. And at times, the shape may not be mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, but maybe in another book of Imam Bukhari. So that's why Ibn Hajar wrote the book that he calls تغليق التعليق. That is what Imam Bukhari has reported Mu'allaq. He provided the shame for those things. Maybe from the same Sahih Bukhari or from other books of Imam Bukhari or from other sources of a hadith. So the author here says Imam Bukhari reported this Mu'allaq. Wasahai ibn Hibban, and Ibn Hibban declared to be authentic. Wal Hakim and Al Hakim. Now this hadith, talking about Ishrat al-Nisa, the way the man relates with the woman, the way the man relates with the woman, or the way the man relates with their wife, talking about this. A good husband is the one that if he feels himself, he also feeds the wife. A good husband is the one that if he feeds himself, to also feed the husband. What does this mean? Does this mean that a man should share what he's supposed to eat, for instance, share it into two? If what he has is what will be enough for only him, it will not be enough for both him and his wife. Is there a must that a man must share it between him and the wife? Or what it means is that after the man has eaten, then the next person that he should be looking for or taking care is the wife. The hadith can be interpreted in both ways. Because what the Sharia let us know is that what? Ta'amul wahid yakfi ithnain. The food of a person can also watch, can be managed by two persons. The food that will satisfy only you, that food can be managed by two people. Only that what you will get that satisfaction, but what you get the reward for also feeding people. So in a situation like that, a man that doesn't have anything to eat, and man is married, that has only what can satisfy him, and a man is married, and it is his responsibility to take care of his wife with respect to eating and feeding. So what he has that will be enough for only him, he should share it between him and his wife. And if he has more than what will be sufficient for only him, if he eats, he should also remember that it is a responsibility to also feed his wife. So it is a shameless act, so to say, for somebody to say, okay, I'm going to feed myself only, I'm not going to take care of my wife. So if somebody who does not have a shyness that will be doing that, somebody who knows that it is responsibility to take care of his wife, whenever he has something to eat, he should always remember his wife. So this is the way to do Ishrat with Nisa. And Allah commanded us, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ and relate with them, بِالْمَعْرُوف in a handsome and honorable way. So which type of handsomeness or honor is in you eating and your wife is what is hungry? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي يَشْبَعْ. He's not a good believer, the one who has eaten to his own satisfaction. وَجَارُهُ جَعِرٌ بِجَنْبِ. And his neighbor, not his wife now, his neighbor is beside him and is hungry. And he is what? He has eaten to his what? To his own satisfaction. And his neighbor is hungry. No talk of what? One's wife. No talk of one's wife. So a good man is the one that says, okay, this thing that I have can only satisfy me, but my wife is also hungry, so we have to share it. And if what he has is enough, he has to take care of the wife as well. So it's a responsibility of a good man. So a man that doesn't do that, that man has practiced a kind of what? Nushuz, or a kind of what? Iraj, to his wife. So if the wife is also practicing nushuz on him, the wife has what justification? Because the man that doesn't feed you, and the man says he wants to sleep with you, the man wants to get benefit from you, and he's not feeding you. So such a poor man does not deserve that. So if the woman is encouraged to do it, it's maybe to just to allow peace to reign, so to say, as we say. But is it compulsory on her to be obeying the man that doesn't feed her? It's not compulsory on her, particularly when she knows that the man has, and the man also knows that what he has. Unlike a man that doesn't have, and the wife knows that what my husband does not have. So such a woman should still be what? Obey the husband. But if she knows that she cannot obey a situation like that, she cannot manage a situation like that, the Sharia allows her to go to seek for khulu. If she knows she cannot be under a man that she will be the one feeding him, and she will be the one assisting him in things that the man is supposed to do, and the man does not have what? The way out of this. Because the man has a genuine reason. So the woman should be respecting and obeying this, such a man, because there is what? A genuine reason for that. But if she cannot bear that, Sharia does not say, okay, it is compulsory on you to bear. She can see khulu and opt out of the marriage, as we shall be discussing, inshallah. But a man that has the ability to take care of a woman and he doesn't do that, if the woman becomes nauseous on him, the nushuz of the woman is justified. because the man is dropping his responsibility. So Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And to tarimaha idha akalta, you feed her when you eat. What the suwa idha akalta, likewise if you clothe yourself and your wife does not have clothing to put on, you also clothe her. You clothe her." That doesn't mean that what whenever the man buys a clothes for himself or a garment for himself, he has to buy for the woman. If the woman needs, the man may need, and the woman does not need clothing. So in a situation like that, it is not compulsory on the man. But if the woman also needs the store either, it's access like that. So for you to be having something to wear, you also provide for your wife. وَلَا تَدْرِبِ الْوَجْهَا, and you shouldn't beat her and the face. The mafhum al-mukhalafa is that what you can beat her rather than the face. What is making her say you shouldn't beat her in the face? Because that is the most beautiful part of the body. Once the face is deformed, it's like the beauty is lost. So when you slap a woman on her face or in her face, and she has a kind of mark in the face, you have deformed her. And that is why Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that you should not slap the women in the face. Even your servants, your slaves, don't slap them in the face. Because by doing that, you are affecting their beauty. And Islam does not want that. If a good woman is a woman that when you see her, you love her. When you see her, she pleases you. So if you have slapped her in the face, or you have injured her in her face, when you see her, any other time, she will not be pleasing to you. And who is the cause for that? You are the cause. You are the cause. So and that's why it is important that you get these messages being passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A woman may offend a man, may do some things of nushuz against the husband. The husband should not beat her in the face. وَلَا تَبْرِبِ الْوَجْهَا, do not beat her in the face. We said the mafhum al-mukhalafa is that what? You can beat her in other than the face. But before that, we should remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. وَاللَّهِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوذَهُنَّ, the women that you fear their disobedience to you, فَعِذُهُنَّ, admonish them. And that is why when you want to get married, you get married with somebody that understands the word of Allah, that is ready to understand the word of Allah. So that when you tell her, this is what Allah has said, this is what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, she will correct herself. Not somebody that when you say she should fear Allah, she will say to hell with Transu. So that's not a good woman. That's not a good woman. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fully had. The good women are what? Qanitat. Women that are qanitat. They listen to the words of Allah and they listen to the order of their husbands. That is not good in a woman that the husband will tell her, sit there, and she says, no, I'm not sitting there. How good in her? There is no good in a woman that Allah will say, this is what she should do. No, this is what our people say I should do. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ مَا حَافِظَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ, the women that you fear their nushuz, their disobedience to you, فَعِذُهُنَّ, give them admonition. She has not been given in that way before. All of a sudden, she develops some things that when you tell her, do this, instead of what doing that, she starts to abuse you. فَعِذُهُنَّ, admonish them. Let them know the rights of the husbands on them. If that does not avail and that does not solve the problem, وَحْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِرِ, Allah says, do hijrah. Do hijrah. How? فِي الْمَضَاجِرِ, and the bench. That is, you don't sleep with them. But some women, when you don't sleep with them, they are less concerned, it does not affect them. In fact, some women, their nature is that once when the husband wants to have sex with them, they tell the husband that I'm not ready for that now. So if such a woman, you say you are boycotting her in the bed, it's like what, you are assisting her. Because ordinarily, she's not ready for that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? وَهَجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ Boycott them in the bed. This is for those that when the husband boycott them in the bed by not having sexual intercourse with them, or the husband boycott them by turning his back to them. The husband boycotts a woman by turning the back. So a woman will not want that. If she's a serious woman, she doesn't want the husband to turn the back to her. So turning the back to the woman can be interpreted as a kind of what? Hijra or ajru. So the woman that is that one tries to boycott in bed by not having sexual intercourse with her, by not sleeping with her on the same bed, and this does not avail such a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wadribuhun. Then you can beat them. Then the beating Messenger of Allah explained it. He said, Dorban Ghayra Mubarrihin. It's a beating that will not cause mark on their body. A beating that will not cause mark on their body. Not somebody that will say, the Sharia said we can beat our wife if we are disobedient, and I will beat the hell out of you today. Then it will be the woman, and she will be taken to the hospital, and leaving the marks on her face. Then she starts running away from the woman, that the beauty is not impressing him anymore. No, this is not a good man. The ishra of a woman does not call for this. When you want to do al-ma'ashara bil-ma'ruf with a woman, you don't beat her on the face. In fact, you don't beat her except if there is a need for that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not start with what? Wallah taqafuna nushuzahunna fadribuhun. He didn't start with that. He started with wallah taqafuna nushuzahunna fa'idhuhunna wahjuruhunna fil madaji wadribuhun. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way He arranged it. Not start with beating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa in ata'inakum, if the women, they now listen to you, they obey your order, فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. Don't look for a way of punishing them after this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. If you feel that watch, Allah said, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. You should also know that watch, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا. Allah is also what? I, كَبِيرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also great. Whatever you think you are, Allah is greater than you. So if you see that, if you think Allah has what placed you on them, Allah is also what? Above you. And that's where to look at this verse critically, we know how to relate with women. We know how to relate with them. As human beings, at times, one may want to go out of the normal thing. One may be carried away by anger. But you call yourself back by the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next thing is not for you to start beating your wife. No, it's not what Allah started with. Allah started with what? Al-wa'ad. You call her, you sit her down, this that you are doing is against so-and-so, it's against so-and-so, it's against so-and-so. Then if this does not solve the situation, then in that case, you resort to hajru. If it is somebody that hajru, we rectify. And if hajru doesn't work, then you can resort to what? A dorbu. And if dorbu does not also rectify because you have not beaten her by giving her mark, then instead of what beating her to the extent that will be mark, then both of you should separate. Because Islam does not want you to be living a very difficult life. Because the purpose of nikah is for you to have what? Sakina for you to have mawadda. So there is no mawadda, no sakina, no rahmah. That is not the nikah that Islam wants us to watch. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِيَّ تَفَرَّقَ. If they both decide to separate, يُبْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ فَعْدِ. Allah will enrich every one of them, or each one of them, from his fa'd, from his worth, his bounty. So if you cannot settle the matter, unless by beating yourself to the extent that what you leave marks on your body, both of you are not supposed to be living together. You're not supposed to be living together. So because Islam does not want you to be beating women to that level of leaving marks on your body. So this is not, it's not good. Likewise, for a woman to be so desperate and devilish to the extent that what, she doesn't mind stabbing her husband to death. No. Such a person is not supposed to be what? A wife. So that's why Islam is a very simple religion, and a religion that what studies the nature of humanity. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? وَلَا تَبِبِ الْوَاشِعَ. Don't beat her on the face. وَلَا تَحَشُرِ اللَّهِ فِي الْبَيْتِ. And do not boycott her except at home. Now does this mean that what? A man cannot boycott the woman by leaving the house for her, not going to watch the house. If one wants to go by what the apparent meaning of this, and you say no, both of you should be sleeping in the same room, in the same bed, but the only thing is that what, you won't have sex with her, or you turn your back against her, or you will not speak with her. So this may be the apparent meaning of this. But some scholars have said that you have cases where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam boycotted his wife for a period of 1 month. He boycotted his wife for a period of 1 month. He abandoned the houses and he went towards a mashruba, a place, it's like a small room. He went there and the Messenger of Allah was staying there. So he stayed there for a whole month. To the extent that some people were carrying the word, the rumor, the Messenger of Allah divorced his wife. So Umar of the line went to the Messenger of Allah and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, have you divorced your wife?" The Messenger of Allah said, "No, I have not. I only boycotted them. I did not divorce them." Umar of the line, when he had this rumor, he went to his own daughter, Hafsa. He said to her, "You know, this, look at what you have caused for yourself. You are causing that lady. The Messenger of Allah loves her more than what? He loves you. You have landed yourself in problem." And she said, "No, nothing of such happened. The Messenger of Allah has not divorced us." So from this, some scholars, they deduce, like Al-Imam Bukhari and some others, that if there is need for a man to also boycott the wife, and by what? Leaving the house or the building or the room for her, if there is need for that, this is also permissible, because the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced it, so that I talk him on in that there is need for it. So rather than watch beating the woman, so one can watch, just leave the room for if that will be what the hajj that will benefit. But if a lower hajj can benefit, so one can watch, one should apply a lower hajj rather than what going for the higher one, unless if there is a genuine reason you want you to teach her a lesson, then in that case one can go for the one that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced by not going to bed for a umur. وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ وَلَا تَحْيُلْنَا فِي الْبَيْتِ. So at takbir, he used to blast the woman in such a way that what? One would say things that are ash, or one would be cursing her, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy you, may Allah do this. You know, some men, they will practice this, that things like that. So this is not something that is good. Some women will also practice this with their husband. The little problem between both of them, the woman has started what? Raining curses on the man. And both of you still want to live together, and you have caused him or caused her angst. You don't want Allah to say, "Army," to the cause that you have watched, to have said, that you have said, you know. A good man doesn't do that to the wife. A good woman, a good man doesn't do that to the wife, and a good woman does not do that to the husband. So not raining curses on one another, and likewise not boycotting oneself in such a way that if you get to the notice of almost everybody in the street, what Islam calls for. That is, when you are boycotting, the boycott should not be the one that everybody gets to know, unless if there is a need for that. Maybe the man wants to teach her a lesson. Likewise, speaking the faith, this is also not accepted in the Sharia. Even the faith of the children should not be beaten. Like some parents, they eat their children in the face. No, this is not okay. If you want to beat him or beat her, you can beat her on the body. But beating him or her on the face, or in the face, this is not permissible in the Sharia. So with respect to closing, you close your wife, this will also increase the love between both of you. So you feed your wife, this will make them also love you. Unless if she's a woman, that falls in the category of the women that there's nothing you can do for them. So all they will say is, "Of course, you have not done anything for us. Or what do you do that you feel you have done something? Don't you see what your mates are doing?" So all these are statements that a woman that wants to live good, that wants to live well with her husband, shouldn't be saying. Huh? Because this is sin for her. As the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ma'ashar al-nisa," he said, "Oh group of women, فَكُنْتَقْنَا دُوِيَ لَكُمْ صَبَقَ فَإِنَّ كُنَّا أَكْثَرُ حَطَبِ جَهَنَّمْ." Because most of you will be admitted as swell of air fire. Then a woman said, "Ya Rasulullah, لِمَا أُمَسُنَا فَاللَّهُ وَاي?" The Messenger of Allah said, "تُكْسِرْنَا الشَّكَا," you complain a lot, وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ, and you show ingratitude to your husbands. You show ingratitude to your husbands. In another hadith, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَهُنَّ الدَّهْرَ, when you are nice to one of them, الدَّهْرَ, throughout the year, إِذَا رَأَتْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا, if she sees something that she doesn't love in you, she will say what? لَمْ أَرَفِكَ خَيْرًا قَبْتٌ, I've never seen any good thing in you. So all this, a woman that wants to live peacefully with the husband should not be saying things like this. She should also bear the back of her mind. وَمِنْ آيَتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. A man should be bearing this in mind, at the back of his mind. Likewise, a woman, that the marriage that both of us, we are not working towards the sakina, towards the tranquility in the home. We are not working towards the mahabba, the love, the mawadda. We are not working towards the rahmah. Then this is not the intended nikah that Islam wants us to partake in. So it is very, very important that we understand it. As human beings, we make errors at times in what is the cost of doing this. But whenever we reconnect, let us try to adjust ourselves. As I've always quoted to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina taqaw," those who are God fearing, "idha mastahum ta'ifun min ash-shaytan," if shaytan gets hold of them, tazakkaru, they remember immediately that this that I'm doing is against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This that I'm doing, Allah is not pleased with it. Tazakkaru fa'idha mubsirun, continue to be clear to them. وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ أَصْفَرَ, the brothers of Shayateen, يَمُجُّونَ فِي الْغَيْبِ, Shaytan works, will continue to assist them in their guidance. ثُمَّ لَا يَكْسُرُونَ, then they will not cease to fall in it. So, the issue is not the problem is not that what you make a mystic as a human being. That is not the problem. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, all the children of Adam will make mistakes, but the best of those who make mistakes are those that were, they go back to the truth. by repenting to Allah, by going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we are saying this, it's not that you say everybody will go to the Prophet, that you won't see any kind of what, maybe disagreement between a man and his wife. No. If this happens between the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household, then there is no household that will be free of this. But how do we reconcile this thing if it happens? This is what we are learning, and this is what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants us to imbibe. And that's why the chapter is what? Bab 'ishrat an-nisa, the chapter of how you live with the women and how the women also live with their husband. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala also increase us in steadfastness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Now, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. The first question is, can one give a child a knock on his edge or her edge? If one is going to do that, one should make it a kind of word soft. Because if it is harsh and hard, this may have a medical implication. So, but this is not like beating him or her in the face. It's not like beating him or her in the face. Then secondly, can one beat a child that is less than 10 years old? So some of the scholars have said one cannot beat a child that is less than 10 years old. And the argument is that if Allah, our Creator, said we should order the children to pray at age 7, and if they refuse to pray at age 10, we should beat them. So that means the child cannot be beaten in less than age 10. So that is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala and some scholars, that when a child is less than 10, you shouldn't beat the child. So you can look for a way of talking to the child. You can look for a way of what? Talking to the child, like saying what, you won't buy so and so for him or her if he or she does so and so, or if he or she does not do so and so. So rather than what? Beating them. So this is the deduction. But some scholars, they have the opinion that there is nothing wrong with beating them, but the beating should be what should be commensurate with their age, not something that will be higher than their age. So if you are expected to beat a woman if she disobeys you in such a way that will not leave marks on her body, and you are also discouraged from beating her in the face, then what about a young child that you beat, leaving marks on his or her body, or beating him or her in the face? So some scholars have the opinion that one can do that. And they would test the argument with what one of the scholars said, and that is Ibrahim al-Nakhai. As Imam Bukhari reported, he said, "Kunna nudrabu," that is, our fathers, our parents used to beat us, ala shahada, when we bear false testimony, when we bear false testimony. So they used to beat us when we bear false testimony, because this is what runs in the Sharia. So if a small child is called to bear false testimony, then the practice of the Salaf, particularly in Kufa, as Ibrahim al-Nakhai has said, is that they will beat them so that they will refrain from that. So one can also deduce from this as well, that if beating a young child will rectify him or her, so there is nothing wrong in it, on condition that what it is commensurate with the sin that is committed, and it's something that does not go beyond their age. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the reason why the Messenger of Allah boycotted his wife. The reason why he boycotted his wife. So, the reason, in many ahadith was not explained. in fact, some ahadith, if you don't watch short, it will be short. So, but when we look at lengthy hadith, that Umar of the line was involved and his neighbor was involved. So it's like, maybe the wives were requested for something. They were requested for something, comparing themselves to the wives of other companions. Like, say, oh, Messenger of Allah, so and so, their husband, this so and so for them, their husband, this so and so for them. So, for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the choice of either remaining with the Messenger of Allah from and bearing with him the way he is, or they have what? They have the right also to go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want to read the Hayat al-Dunya wa zinata, if you watch the Hayat al-Dunya, these worldly things, and you watch the zina of this dunya, فَتَعْلَيْنَا وَمَتِّعُكُنَّ وَسَعْرِيكُنَّ صَرَانْ جَلِيلًا. Let me release you people. إِنْ كُنْتُنَا تُرِدْنَا اللَّهَ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. But if you want Allah and you want the year after, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدَى الْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُنَّ أَجْرًا أَغْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those who are muhsinat amongst you, which reward. So it's like this is what led to that boycott of it, because it affected all of them, Aisha of the Lanya, inclusive. So Allah wa'ala. The first thing is that it's not compulsory on a man to feed a parent that has. That should be registered. But a wife that has, it is compulsory on the man to feed her. If the wife is a millionaire, that does not mean that the man will not say you have money, you should also be responsible for the feeding of yourself. No, that man is irresponsible. But if a parent has, it is not compulsory on the man to feed him or her. How do you explain? But in a situation where the parents do not have, so who comes first? The parents or the wife? Some scholars said the wife, some scholars said the parents. But looking at the general text concerning the place, the position the parents occupy in our life, we say the parents in this situation comes first. How to display? So as a man asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the person that I should be nice to most? Messenger of Allah sallam said what? Ummuk, your mother. He said it three times. Then he said what? Your father. So, and many verses of the Quran telling us about the parents, telling us about the mother. So the wife will come after them. But if the parents are well to do, it's not a responsibility of the man to feed them. Wallahu a'lam. Now, if a mother is upset and she tells the child that I will slap you, so this is not something that is good, but it's not like slapping. So as long as she has not slapped the child, or a husband tells his wife, I will slap you if you say that again. So as long as he has not slapped her, so he has not committed what you are talking about. But it's something that is also not good to be saying. Wallahu alam.
Someone just called me and said, you went for
نعم لحديث لحديث that Prophet Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام when his time to leave this world approached and Malakul Maut was sent to him and he said I wanted to take your soul so he came in a woman form. And Prophet Musa ﷺ resisted that and he gave him Islam. So, and Malakul Maut went back to Allah to say, this is what he has done. Allah has empowered Prophet Musa ﷺ to do that. So, it was later that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now sent Malakul Maut back to Prophet Musa ﷺ that if you want me to increase your lifespan, I will do. So I'm ready to give you that if you touch the ship, so to say, the air of the ship, the number of the air that you touch will be what should be your years to spend in this world. And Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you are the one that has asked him to come and take my soul, then I'm ready to leave now. I'm ready to leave. The hadith is authentic in Sahih Bukhari.
When the students begin to show, you need to contain many things without us. So, anytime the other company, the wife doesn't take to leave. So, and the other side of the world, manage the wife,
you know, and but not anytime the man thought the wife is coming happy and not knowing that I don't have capacity to marry and have a woman. So the nafia is for the man to also be patient. The man to be patient and continue to bear that. So, you know, as we said, scholars or students of knowledge will not tell you go and divorce your wife unless if the wife is threatening your religion. But if with respect to what relationship between both of you, she's not sleeping to me, she's not doing that, it's not feeding me, if it is a woman that is complaining, scholars will not tell you go and divorce her or go and seek for cooler because he's not doing the right thing. So they will try to speak to the man to be doing the right thing and the woman to also be obedient to the husband. Perhaps Allah will use that as what a way of reconciling between both of you. So this is what the scholars will always encourage. They won't tell you go and divorce your wife. When it has to do with religion, maybe the woman is not upright, she's doing this, she's doing things that are against the religion. In that case, the scholars, they will be bold enough to say, okay, divorce this woman. Or ask for khulu from this husband, or take him to court. Because it's a thing that has to do with what? The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what has to do with your own rights? You may decide to compromise your rights. You may decide to compromise your own rights. And she may decide to compromise her own rights. Considering some things. So the advice is that the man should continue to manage the situation as he's been managing the situation. But if the man says, okay, do you want to impose it on me? No imposition. Just as we have in the cases of those women that went to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that of Barira is there, and that of Jamila is also there. Those women, they complained about the organs. That was Barira. She felt she could not be under its place anymore. She's now a freeborn, so to say. So being under a slave, does not defeat her status. And she wanted to opt out. Messenger of Allah was trying to watch, appeal. Because this is what her right. Messenger of Allah was trying to appeal. And the woman said, I'm not interested. So he sent him to Jamila. She went to the Messenger of Allah, she said, oh Messenger of Allah, as far as Zayd bin Thabit, Qais bin Thabit bin Shammas is concerned, la atibu alayhi fi dinin wa la khulukin. I don't have problem with his religion, it's okay. Religion-wise, it's okay. Wa khulukin, in terms of character, is okay. Walakini akhsha al-kufra fi Islam. I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to be ungrateful in Islam as a Muslim. So a woman that the husband will do everything for, and she will not be appreciated. So in one report, she said, what? La utiyekubu bogdan. I cannot tolerate him. I hate him any time I see him. And the Messenger of Allah said, Atarujina alayhi hadithata. Are you ready to return back to the hadith or the garden that he has given you as mahar? She said yes. Messenger of Allah invited the man. He said, this is what the woman has said. He said, Iqbal al hadith. Take the hadith or the garden from her, put on the carpet liquor, and release her. So this is the way the Salafu Salih will address issues like this. So the appeal, if it has to do with what, maybe this person's right is at stake, this person's right is at stake, how you can manage the situation. But if both of them stand on getting their rights, Islam has not said no, it is haram. So that's why it is important that we learn some of these things, so that when you are acting, you know how to act. Because what has been noticed today is that most brothers, I'm not talking about lay people, most brothers, we divorce women in such a way that is what? Against the law of Allah. We have uttered words of divorce many times and we do not have regard for these words. So that's why it is compulsory that you learn how to divorce women. A woman should also learn how to speak for khulu. You have cases when a woman just pack her load and what? She gets out of the house and I'm not doing it anymore. That is not the out, like the way to terminate relationship. That is the way of the kuffar. So it is very, very important that we learn all these things. To know if you want to do it, nobody is forcing you to do it. But if you are saying, okay, I want to do it, know how to do it. So that you will not be sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we display it. Allahu a'lam. No. Now this is with respect to the hadith is addressing when the parents have. You know, when you are on your own now, you are establishing your own family. It is not compulsory on the child to spend on the parents when the parents have. It is not compulsory on the parents to also spend on the children that have stood on their own. How to display? It's not compulsory on the parents to stand on them. But if the parents, the children that have stood on their own, if they are poor, then it will be compulsory on the parents who have to spend on them. So the same thing is applicable to the children. Huh? It's not compulsory on them to spend on their parents that have. But when the parents are poor, it becomes compulsory on them to spend on them. In this case, they come according to the stronger opinion, the prestige, the wife. Because without the parents, there will be no husband. There will be no husband. So in a situation like this, it will not be okay for you to give precedence to the wife over the parents. But if they have, then the wife takes precedence over them. Because the wife, whether she has or not, it is a duty on the man to spend or act on her, Allahu a'lam. As I've said, the issue of divorce is something that is left to the parties involved. Scholars will not advise you to divorce your wife unless if it affects the deen. If it affects the deen, anybody can be bold to say, no, don't keep such a woman. But the woman is denying you your right, is denying you, so they don't want to tell you to what. They will see what they are appealing to you, that really, so I try to tell her this, let some people also intervene in the matter. They may know that if, take for instance, if somebody was saying, if it were me, I would divorce this woman. But when you come to the person, they will say, it's my manager, you know, we practice that as well. Even those who are not scholars, they know that maybe this woman is giving you a problem, and they know if it were to be them, they will not keep such woman. But they cannot tell you that what, release woman to go, because you don't want to destroy your home. But they know you are also going through what, two problems. The same thing, a woman, that the husband is not feeding, she will be the one to work from the morning to night, and she will be the one to feed the children. And when the man comes home again, no food, the man will start teaching her again. And he has not left anything for the woman to cook, no food, will be her. Such a woman is now reporting her case to somewhere, to some elderly people, and I say, oh no, she's not in the end. Remember me now. They know that the man is maltreating this woman. But why will be afraid that if they should tell you that anything, go, she will be quoting them. So they want to say go, they will say no. But they will know that if they were to be in that shoe, they will not remain in that husband's house. But nobody wants to destroy another person's home. There is nothing wrong with this. If a woman is what is giving up a right, or a man is giving up his right, nothing wrong with it. As long as it's not something that has to do with what the deen directs. Take for instance a woman that what, it is the man that will cook for the whole family to eat, so the woman will just be sleeping, so you go and wake her up, the food is ready. And you get to know about this, I used to be laughing. But the man doesn't see anything wrong in it. The man doesn't say, he's living up, living what? Living up his own rights. So I think both of them are living fine like that. Leave them. So but to say, okay, after you have maybe you have made attempt to beat her, and she says, if you use that to touch me, I will shoot you with the bottle. So the next thing is for you to not divorce her. No, they will tell you that. If you can still manage the situation, try to manage it, this is what you will see. But if it's okay, I want to divorce her, nobody wants to tell you it is haram for you to divorce her. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك